Well, thank you all for having me this morning. And the reason why, turn this upside down, the reason why I carry this is a constant reminder of the mantle my father left me.
Glory to God.
So Barry Hussey, I always bring this with me. And then this is his Bible as well. So I keep all these things always with me whenever I'm preaching, whenever I'm sharing. So I honor the man of God that he was and the man of God that he is. And I will join him when the time is right. And we will all join Barry Hussey when the time is right, actually. And he will give us the biggest hug right after we get in the gates that you could ever imagine. Because they only get stronger with time, apparently. Amen. Let's just close our eyes for the moment. I just want to enter in just a moment of prayer. Just want to change the atmosphere a little bit. Thank you, Father. Just want to let him do what he wants to do in us today. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just say thank you and come. Lord Jesus, come. Holy Spirit, come. Father God, come. And Lord, we know that you're here, but Father, we ask for you to manifest here. We ask, God, that you would just not come, but bring your healing, bring your miracles, bring your revelation, bring your illumination, bring all of it. We want all of you. Holy Spirit, come, partner with us. Jesus, be here with us as Lord and Savior, King of Kings. And Father God, we ask you to come and bring in your glory, your Shekinah glory with you in this house. Let this be a house of an open heaven. Let it be a house where we can have angel and angelic visitations. Let this be a house of miracles. Let this be a house of praise and of prayer. Let this be a house that where the downtrodden and the outcast can come and restore their souls, restore their lives, oh God. Let this be a house of encouragement for others. Let this be a house of prayer that we would intercede and we would war for others as well in this house. We thank you, Father, for the wonderful things you're doing in this house, in this place. Bless the leadership. Bless the congregation. Bless everyone that's doing anything in this house. Lord, we thank you, Father, for one of the most important tasks is the kids' ministry, Father. We bless the kids' workers right now, Father. We bless them right now as they're changing lives, Father, for the next generation. Lord, that they're not missing out on what's going on here, that they are sowing and they will reap a harvest with what they're doing right there where they are. We thank you, Father, right now. Thank you, Jesus. Open heaven. We partner with what you want to do today, oh God. We partner with what you want to do. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. God is so good. He's so good. Come on, let's give a clap. Let's give a clap. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. You're so good. So good. Thank you, Lord. He's so good. Amen. Well, the Lord put something on my heart when John asked me to come down. He knew I was coming down, and he asked me, hey, would you like to speak? And I was like, well, let me pray about it. And then actually the next day the Lord gave me a word for this house. I'm like, well, all right. So the Lord wants me to go down there and say what he wants to say. So I was like, all right. That's good stuff. Amen. But I want to bring a word. It's in due season, and I'm straight from the throne room, because he wants to do great things in this house. Do you believe that?
Amen.
He does. Whether you believe it or not, it doesn't matter if you do or not. He wants to do great things in this house to you, through you, for others as well, and for you. He wants to do great things. So there needs to come something first that I'm going to share. There has to come something first before God can do the great things. There has to be an alignment. You know, when we get out of alignment with what he wants to do, then we can't really accept the fullness of what he wants to do. It's just kind of like when you sleep. You know, if you sleep kind of wrong, your back might be, it's not quite in alignment. So you might walk a little funny. But when you get that alignment straightened up, you walk good, don't you? Don't you? I mean, if you're 5, you can sleep wherever you want or however you want. But when you're 45, you can't do that anymore. I'm finding that out more and more now. I'm not 45 yet, but I'm getting there. But you just can't sleep the way you wanted to. But you need that alignment with God has for you, because he's got some great things. So I want to encourage you today about what we're going to talk about first, and because God has some words he's given me to share for this house, but we have to get into alignment first, all right? So it says in Matthew 6, and most of you could probably quote it in 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And don't we have a lot of trouble some days? Doesn't it seem that way? Woo, in this post-COVID world and things. I mean, I was talking to someone the other day. He said, do you remember the glory days? I was like, what do you mean the glory days? He's like, before COVID? I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, man, it was such a different world. Such a different world. He's like, you remember the glory days where you could actually go outside and do things in big, large groups and things like that? I was like, yeah, I remember those. But, you know, it was kind of funny. We joke about that, but it's like, it's true. Things have changed our lives. And there are more things to worry about tomorrow than ever, it feels like. It's like, man, these problems, all these things going on. But how many of you know we don't have to worry like the world worries, do we? We've got inner peace because we have Jesus living inside of us. I don't know how the world does it. I really don't. I'd be freaking out too. I mean, it's true. I mean, you could see, you know, the stock market hadn't been so bad since 1979, the first half. I'd be freaking out too. But I know that Jesus gives me that peace. And you know what? The worst thing that can happen to me, is that I pass away from this life. But then I pass into eternity. And that's going to be a great. Now, I don't want to pass in there before I'm supposed to be called. Don't get me wrong. No. My wife said so, Jesus. So you better listen. So no, but I'm just saying that, you know, the worst thing that can happen to us is that we pass away into eternal life. Eternal in his presence. And that's awesome. What assurance we have in that, where we can go through this life and we can be saying, you know, the worst that can happen to us is death, but yet Jesus has conquered death in the grave. Come on, somebody. So good, so good. So what I'm going to talk about today is our relationship is the most important thing. Seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. We have to understand that his relationship with him and our relationship with him is the most important thing. And sometimes we get caught up on other things. Isn't it true? I mean, I'll be the first to say it. I'm not preaching because I got all this together. I'm not preaching because I am the on the Wheaties box for people that have it all together. No, I'm not. My wife will tell you that. That's a 90s reference for all you guys out there. Wheaties box. These young kids don't understand what a Wheaties box is. If you got on the Wheaties box, you knew you arrived. You knew you were something if you got on the Wheaties box. That was amazing. For now, it's like having a YouTube with 2 million subscribers. That's kind of like the same parallel. If you're a YouTuber with 2 million subscribers, that's about the same thing. But yeah, that was it. So we have to make sure we keep what's the most important, our relationship with him. And there are two things that the Lord laid on my heart for this congregation, for this church, that can be keeping you from that. Two things. One of them is unforgiveness. Ooh, we got quiet then. I could feel it. I was like, yeah, unforgiveness. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. You might not invite me back, but you'll forgive me. I appreciate that. No, it's unforgiveness. And what it is that unforgiveness keeps us from getting to where we need to be with him. It keeps us from the destiny. We need to have independence from the camp of unforgiveness. Come on, you like how I said that, right? Independence Day, you got that? You like that? All right. We need to have freedom from unforgiveness. Because unforgiveness hurts us way more than hurts the person we're holding against. It hurts us way more than what we could think of, imagine sometimes. Sometimes we're thinking, well, hold on because something happened to us, maybe at an early age or younger, maybe even yesterday. Like, I don't want to forgive that person. They hurt me bad. And I understand. I've been hurt some bad too. I understand that, you know, we don't want to forgive. We're like, well, I hold against them, like, I'm going to make sure that they don't, you know, they feel that I don't forgive them. But, you know, they don't really care. They might not even know. So it's like, your unforgiveness is like drinking a poison and expecting someone else to die. That's really what it is. That's what it comes down to. So we need to forgive those people. And I remember my wife shared a testimony about forgiveness while I was in here. I think last time we talked about forgiveness and about how Jesus would stand in the way of, in her just sharing about it, that some things happened and she had a real, she had some unforgiveness against this person. And she's like, "Lord, I can't forgive him. He was just so horrible, the things he did." And then Jesus is like, "Okay, well then punish me instead." And she's like, "I can't punish you, Jesus. Why would I punish you?" And he said, "Well, he's forgiven because I forgave him. So you have to punish me instead." I remember a story of a time long ago that there was a meeting in this house, and it was a meeting of leaders, and there was many leaders in there, and between two leaders, the debate got so heated that both leaders left this house and were very angry at each other because it got that intense. And leaders don't always agree. It's true. We're not perfect. We don't always agree. But there was a big debate and a big almost falling out between two leaders in this house. And one of the leaders went to the other leader's house and he asked, "You know what? I don't want to be fighting. I don't want to have unforgiveness in my heart. I want us to be joined together." And he went and apologized, even though the other leader admitted to later to me that he was wrong. And that leader that went to apologize was my father. That was Barry Hussey. Relationship is huge. Forgiveness is huge. The only person that has a reason, and he has all the reason to have unforgiveness, is God. Look what we did. We messed up his perfect world. We created a place for sin. We killed people. We did all the things that commandments command us not to do. And even when he sent his servants down to help us out, we killed them. And then we crucified his own son. If anyone has a motive for unforgiveness, anyone's justified in having unforgiveness, it's God Almighty. And yet, even then, he doesn't hold it against us. Even then. He wants us to be walking in forgiveness. And maybe there was someone that's done something to you. Maybe it was horrible. And I'm not saying there's not hurt. There's not pain there. I'm not saying maybe it was in leadership. Maybe it was someone in this house. Maybe it was someone outside this house. Maybe it was. But we have to forgive and move on. Because God wants to do some great things in us. And I'm not saying it's going to happen overnight. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes it takes a while for that forgiveness. But you just keep on going after, like, "God, I still forgive them. I still pray for them. I still go after your goodness." Because the same God that forgave you can forgive them. The same God that loves you loves them too. The same God that wants the best for you wants the best for them. We have to get over ourselves, get in forgiveness, and move on. Like I said, it's not easy. It may sound easy. It's not. But the Lord's going to give us the grace and the mercy to do that. Amen?
Amen.
So number one, unforgiveness. Let's get out of that camp. Let's get out of that. Number two is idols. Number two is idols. Now, idols, the definition of idols is an image or representation of a god used as an object of worship. How many know it's easy to have an idol in your life? And another way I like to think of an idol in my life is, what do I trust in? What do I put my trust in? You know? Do I put my trust in the stock market, you know? Like I said, it's the worst half since 1979. In the stock market, so it ain't going out too well. Do I trust in my thinking or my intellect, you know? I mean, do I think of all the great things and wonderful things out there? But, you know, I mean, compared to God, what do we really know? I mean, really? We trust in our own intellect, you know? I can think of different things, but God who made the world has superior intellect, doesn't he? I would hope so. I'd hope somebody would agree with me on that one. Jeez. I think that I think God's got all the, he's got the corner of wisdom as well as intuition and good stuff. I mean, these same people that we look to for intellect think that the world was created by a Big Bang. I'm just saying. And the people that we think are very smart can't define what gender they are. I'm just saying. God makes things the way he does. And he has all wisdom and all intellect. And yet we look to people and look to idols to show us something that they're not supposed to have that place. They're not supposed to be number one in our lives. Some of us might have friends. I mean, I have some great friends. I love my friends. But you know what? Friends fail, unfortunately. Jesus had friends. They all deserted him. I mean, that's what happens. I mean, I love my friends, but sometimes there's a point, and that's it. The only thing should be Jesus first. Jesus first. So don't give in to the idols. Don't give in to money, thinking, intellect, friends. Don't give in to those things. Because when you put them on the pedestal, they are definitely going to let you down sooner or later. And then your world will come crashing down and realize, wait a minute, I put them on a pedestal. Don't put Pastor John up there either. He doesn't want to be up there. Don't do it. Pastor John is a wonderful man. I love him very much, but don't put him as your idol. Put Jesus. That's where it's supposed to be. Put Jesus number one. So two things, like I said, dealing with unforgiveness and dealing with idols. You know, we want God to be number one. We don't want to sing songs about us, do we? You know, it's all about me, Jesus, and all this is for me, for my glory and my fame. It's not about you, because you should do things my way. Come on. That's what we sing sometimes. It's true. Don't lie. Don't lie. Let's be real in this house. Come on. Sometimes we feel like it's all about me, but it's not. It's all about him. It's all about him. And that's the way we've got to keep it. That's the way we've got to do it. So we've got to deal with the unforgiveness, deal with the idols, deal with what we trust in. And then we can watch God deal with the enemy. Come on, somebody. God's going to deal with the enemy, deal with our circumstances, deal with our situations, deal with what's going on in our lives, and watch him turn it around for something amazing. Watching him turning around to see you achieve the destiny God has for you. Because destiny, I'm learning more and more, destiny is just not a destination. Destiny can be a person, place, or thing now. And I'm understanding this more and more because God can send you to a people group, just like Heidi Baker. God can send you to a place. God can send you to a thing. And a thing can be anything. Don't limit God to what he wants to do with your destiny. He wants to do great things in you and through you and to you so you can reach out and touch someone else. Reach out and see someone else's life change forever. Amen. Amen. I love it the way John the Baptist said this. And the reason why John the Baptist said that is because John the Heist wasn't born yet. I mean, just that's what I think of it as. So that's the way I think of it. So John the Heist wasn't born yet, so John the Baptist had to say it. So I'm glad he did. And so he said, I must decrease, and he must increase. It's true. We must decrease, and he must increase. And then when we get our eyes fixed on him, we see God do awesome things. Don't we? I mean, I've got one person to my right here. My friend Dave Pendleton. Yep. Tell me, 3 years. 3 years ago. It was rough, wasn't it? 3 years ago it was rough. But when he sought first the kingdom and his righteousness, he saw things turn around. He saw God do great and wonderful things in his life, through him and to him. And now he is on the cusp of some awesome things that God is about to do in his life. He is promoted him in many different ways. He has done amazing things. But we have to get our eyes off ourselves. We have to get our eyes off the other people. We have to get our eyes on Him.
Yeah.
First and foremost. Amen. Come on, somebody. Because when we get our eyes on Him, then comes the second most important thing. And for everyone, that's different. That could be family. That could be friends. That could be career. That could be wife. That could be a lot of different things. Or husband. That could be a lot of different things. And God, did you know that God cares about your desires?
Yes.
Did you know that He does? Did you know that He actually cares about what you do in life? About what you want to do? Who do you think put that desire to be there? Now, I wanted to be a professional basketball player, but you know what? That was a desire, but that was really put there by God. But, you know, I mean, I tried. Didn't quite make it. Didn't even get to college for a basketball scholarship. So I didn't quite make that at all. But still, God puts desires there for us, for Him. But God still puts desires in there for us. It's funny how God does things, too. I remember being like right here where Tim is, and my father being right here where I am, and I'd be sleeping because I thought preaching was the most boring time in church. Isn't God funny about that, you know? I appreciate you not sleeping for me, Tim. I really do. Thanks. Eyes wide open. That's funny. I remember those days. I'm sure a lot of you might do remember that. I'd be sitting there snoring. Dad would be all energetic and everything, and I'd still be sleeping. You know, that means that the peace of the Lord. I agree. I don't think it was that, but I'll take it. I'll receive that. I'll receive that one. I'll receive that. But yeah, God is so good. He knows what we want. He knows what we have. But He wants to bless us in those things. He wants to bless us in those. So don't feel like that, oh, if I'd seek first, I'm not sure what's going to happen with the rest of my life or my desires for my family or my friends. God's looking out for that. Like Pastor John was talking about earlier, His eyes fixed on the sparrow. Our confidence is in Him. Our confidence is in Him. He wants to do great, wonderful things through us, to us, and to others. We just got to get our eyes fixed on Him and then watch Him be the way maker,
amen,
miracle worker,
amen,
light in the darkness. So good. He's so good. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Come on. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to give us a moment to deal with these things, to deal with the idols, to deal with the unforgiveness. I want to give us a moment to be able to do that. And what I want everyone to do is I want everyone just to, we're just going to stay seated for a moment. And I just want everybody to close your eyes, bow your heads, because this is your time with Jesus. This is your personal time. And I want you to make the connection with Jesus. I want you to position yourself where you need to and be like, Lord, search my heart. Do I have unforgiveness there? Is there something I'm holding on to that I don't need to that's keeping me from You? Or if I put something, an idol in Your way that I'm trusting in more than You, Father? Am I putting something that shouldn't be there in Your way? And I want to give us just a moment to deal with that for a moment. So I'm going to be quiet for a moment and let the Lord speak to you. And then whatever He's speaking to you, you do that. Maybe it's someone in this house. Maybe it's somebody you might need to forgive in this house. Then I encourage you, don't wait. Don't wait. Do it today, because tomorrow has a lot of troubles in itself. There's plenty of reasons to be offended tomorrow. Let's get it done today, because today, if you get it done today, you can achieve your destiny today as well. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. We're just going to take a moment. Few moments here. Let the Lord speak to you and let's deal with those issues. Let's deal with those things. Thank You, Lord. Father, I just thank you that we put our eyes on you. We seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. And we thank you, Father, that we don't have to live in the regime or in the encampment or under the bondage of unforgiveness. We can have forgiveness, and we can release those chains and those snares that easily entangle us, oh God. I thank you, Father, that we trust in you. We make a declaration today that we're trusting in you, that no longer are we trusting in our own intellect or friends or money or anything else or status that we have or jobs. We trust in you, oh God, because you are our source. As you care for the sparrow, you care for us, oh God. That you'll never leave us nor forsake us, oh God. That you'll always be there with us, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. So I want everyone to stand right now. Let's all stand. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a worship song. And this is going to catapult us to the next part, what God wants to share about this house. So stand if you can. But what we're going to do is we're going to play this song. And I want this to be a time, I mean, it might be a new song or it might not. But I want us to enter in. I want us to participate with this song. I want us to not just spectate. I want us to really go after it. Because what this is say, God, I put you first. Come, Lord Jesus, come in this house, in our hearts, in this place. If you want to open heaven here, you have to prepare the ground. If you want God to do great things in this house, you have to be able, willing to pay the price. If you want God to do awesome things through you, you have to let him in. So I want everyone just to participate. We're going to have this song playing for us and really go after it. Really go after it. And then after that, I'm going to give what the Lord gave me for this house. And we're going to do something else after that.